Welcome to Sharkpedia. We're your hosts, Megan
and Imani,
a couple of shark researchers that want to bring the science to you.
We're creating a space to learn all things sharks
and their relatives,
answer your questions,
and learn from the legends in the field.
Get ready to jump in.
Let's dive deep into the world of sharks.
Hello, sharkies.
Hey, sharkies.
Welcome back to Sharkpedia. We have this very special episode for you on a week that you were not expecting one. So, surprise.
Surprise!
That was fantastic. I'm leaving that in. This week, we have Jada Elcock. I am super excited to have her on. I'm sure most of you know who she is because of her amazing animal facts on TikTok. She is a weirdo and she's super smart and she's fantastic. And Jada, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, hello. How's everyone doing? I hope you're doing great. My name is Jada Elcock. I am a graduate student at the MIT Woods Hole Joint Program.
Whoop whoop.
Flexing.
I focus on elasmobranch movement ecology and habitat use. Really interested in how sharks like interact with their environment. Like, you know how you pass a stranger on the street and you're like, I wonder what their life is like. Like, are they going to pick up their kids? Do they need to go grocery shopping? Like, what's going on in their life today?
Do you do that thing where you like make up stories for people in like restaurants or on the sidewalk?
100%.
Where you're just like, oh, I wonder what that person's doing. Then you build a whole life for them.
Yes, exactly. But I also do that with sharks and like animals in general, which is why I'm like, maybe I should stop making up stories and actually like learn the real story and see what's going on. So that's why one of many reasons why I love researching sharks.
Super
cool.
Are
you researching a specific species?
Currently working on some seven gill data.
We have a strong affinity to seven gills over here.
I knew you'd get a kick out of that one. But yes. Not sure what my dissertation project is going to be on. There's some options, but I just got to get to the East Coast first before I figure all that out. So yeah, exciting stuff.
Super
That's
cool.
Awesome. What data are you working with? Is it in Washington State?
Yes. My advisor got
Willapa Bay.
Yeah, Willapa Bay. Got some cool biologger data from Seven Gills. I unfortunately was not on that trip. We tried to catch some back in December. We didn't succeed, but we figured we weren't going to because everyone's like, oh, well, they're gone in the wintertime. And Cam was like, well, we're going to try anyway. Let's see if they're there.
Because you never know. And for the listeners that don't know, I'm also studying seven gills for my PhD dissertation. So I'm very fascinated by this, which is why I asked about all this. But Willapa Bay is the only known breeding grounds that we know of for seven gill sharks. So it's a tiny, shallow bay in Washington state that they seem to visit during summer months. However, in San Francisco Bay, you can find small seven gills year round because San Francisco Bay appears to be their pupping ground and their nursery ground, so they hang out there year round. And I just love seven gills.
They're super cute little baby seven gill noses.
They got little freckles. They're so cute.
They're like Dalmatian puppies.
Yes, they are. We love ourselves a Dalmatian shark. Absolutely. Can we?
Imani, I'm still waiting on my howit pants.
I know. I'm so behind on my howit pants. I have not actually drawn a new one, I think, in all of 2021, and it's May.
Bro. No, you know,
we
need to do a collaboration where like I do an animal fact video and then like you quote tweet my animal fact video with a howit pants or like vice versa. But like we got to do the same animal and see how people.
Okay. I'd be down for this because I'd feel a lot more motivated to draw the pants. Honestly, I've just been doing so many things and my like creative mind has to really be going to pick an animal and then figure out the two ways that I think it would wear pants. And I just like have not been in that headspace.
For you, it's going to be easier.
Yes. If you pick an animal for me, I think there's a higher chance I'll draw it.
Okay. We're going to make this happen. I got you.
Okay. So this episode is going to be a little bit different than our previous episodes. We are not going to be reviewing a paper. We are going to have Jada talk a little bit about her previous research projects that she's done, and then the three of us are going to discuss science communication, because Jada low-key specializes in that with her crazy animal facts. And we think that science communication is super important. If you listen to Dr. Schiffman's episode, then you heard a little bit about this and how important it is to be able to communicate science to people who do not specialize in that scientific area. And so we are dedicating this episode to talking about science communication and having some fun and playing some games.
Heck yes, I'm so excited for the game.
Yes.
Woo, woo. So
I'm gonna fail all the games.
Honestly, same. It's fine. The three of us will fare. The three of us will fail.
We'll fare. That, I mean, we might fare. We might fail.
The three of us will fail, and our listeners will be okay with it, and it'll be fine because we sound smart on all of our other episodes.
Right. Yes.
We are obviously big brain energy.
So we're all gonna sound all smooth brained on my episode. I'm excited about it.
Yes, smooth brain, just like sharks. Sharks are smooth.
Oh yeah, they're super soft too.
Stop.
If you didn't know.
I'm gonna lose my mind. This meme is haunting my dreams. I can't.
I know.
Anymore.
I have to say this disclaimer now that sharks are not smooth because I don't want someone to take me literally when they hear me say that. So, no. Jada, would you like to talk a bit about some of the research that you've done for our listeners?
Yes, of course. So most of the research that I've done so far has not actually been on sharks. It's been on skates, which are another type of elasmobranch, similar to rays. They look a lot like rays, but they don't have stingers. They have two dorsal fins, typically towards the end of their tail. And where rays give live birth, skates do not. They exclusively lay eggs. And the work that I've done has been on those egg cases. So these egg cases, depending on the different species, will be a little bit different shaped, and they'll have totally different textures. And just looking at them, you can tell like how different they are, even though you'd think that they're all kind of the same or they're all similarly shaped. They are very different, and it's totally apparent just looking at them. And then when we took a little bit of a closer look, we used scanning electron microscopy to take samples and look at close-up samples of the egg cases. You could see how drastically different these textures were on the surfaces of the egg cases. And so we were wondering, like, what is the deal with this? What's the purpose of this? Does it have something to do with how well they stick into the substrate when they're laid? Because a lot of, we know that there are skates that lay eggs in like nursery sites, but we're not finding nursery sites out in the Salish Sea. And we're not exactly sure why, because we're still finding skates and we're still finding eggs. We're just not finding nursery sites. So we're trying to figure out like maybe these microstructures might have something to do with it. And we kind of found that for some of them, microstructures influenced how well they stuck to the sand, but not for all of them. And we're not exactly sure why that is either. So there's still a lot to do in the realm of microstructures, textures, egg cases, morphology. But what I did get to do was really cool because it was my first kind of research experience. And if you've never used a scanning electron microscope or seen SEM images before, Google it, because the resolution is crazy. Like, it's so cool to see.
It's so awesome.
Oh my gosh, it's the coolest thing. So I am so grateful that I got to have that experience at Friday Harbor out in Washington with the University of Washington. Shout out to Adam Summers, his lab is amazing. Yeah, it was a really cool experience.
Oh yeah.
And it was, I'll never forget it. Thanks, FHL.
Amazing. So that's so if awesome. You had to describe these microstructures to people who can't see them, aka our listeners,
right,
how would you describe the varying shapes and forms that they took?
I'll give you a little bit of an extremes type of situation. So we looked at, we kind of organized them in a gradient from like smoothest to roughest. The smoothest looked totally smooth, like barely even had like hair like filaments or anything on it. And the roughest one looked like it kind of feels like Velcro a little bit. And it, when you take an SEM image of it, it has like these horns just like projecting all in like one direction. And like, I guess maybe this is a a bad way to describe it, but the image I have in my head is like the trees in the movie The Lorax, and I don't know why the Lorax
Truffula trees.
Yeah, I don't know why the Lorax
yeah
when I'm with Imani, but for some reason it does.
I'm totally okay with this association.
This is great
because I can sing all of the words to every song in that movie.
This is true. I've seen her do it. But yeah.
The Lorax is like truly, I don't care if you're an adult, it is such a good
top tier movie. Where is the Grammy?
The Lorax and Wall-E are literally just warning us about our future and no one is listening.
Facts.
But
yes, I 100% agree.
Yes. But yeah, so the most extreme one was all these projections looking like thorns kind of all facing towards the back end of the egg case. And it looked like that on the dorsal side and the ventral side. So it was super weird. And then there's just kind of all these things varying in between of like, kind of like a gritty looking thing. Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't know what was happening. There's kind of like a gritty looking surface where you've kind of got like these, I guess the best word I have to describe it is like globs that are all like sat next to each other and connected in like a grid type of situation. There's so many different variations. And those are just I only worked on 8 species and they all looked totally different. So I can't even imagine all of the different microstructures and textures that are out there on all these other species that I've never seen before. But yeah.
It's like a fingerprint.
It is. Yeah. It's like a fingerprint for a species. Like you can tell what species it is typically by looking at the egg case, or at least for the ones that I worked with. I don't want to, you know, generalize for all of them, but
it's definitely like shark skin too.
Yeah. Yeah. You can kind of like pinpoint closer to like a group or a family or
yep.
a genus or something based on these egg cases. It's super weird.
That's awesome. Yeah. The images from your project were super cool. And they made me think of, I'm allergic to wool. And so it feels like super pokey to me. And I literally can't wear anything that has any wool in it because it feels like it's like stabbing me.
Oh.
When you get like the up close SEM images of it, instead of being like smooth, it actually has little fibers that are sticking up out of it. And that's what I feel poking me.
So you're just like more sensitive than other, like, you know,
yeah.
typical person. Oh.
Yeah. I like literally no wool. I can't, it itches so much. Even if I had a sweater that had like 10% wool in it and it still itched me.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's what your that's what the microstructures on skate egg cases make me think of.
Well, I know what not to get you for Christmas.
Don't get me wool socks.
Right. Right.
No wool socks. Any other
cool
socks.
I mean, how do you feel about shark skin?
Well, okay, well, first of all, I'm not ever going to be wearing shark skin on my body.
That's
an important distinction to make.
Okay.
Yeah, fair. If I had to wear one, I guess it would probably be like nurse shark because it's not rough in a way that it hurts you in comparison to like hammerheads or tiger sharks where when you zoom in and look at their dermal denticles, it's actually like pokey. Like it has little points on it. And nurse sharks have a very just like, it's not an oval, but it has rounded edges. And so it doesn't feel spiky like other sharks do. So if I had to wear one, which I never will, but if I had to, it would probably be a nurse shark or that shark that was recently discovered that doesn't have skin.
Oh yeah. That weirdo little pink guys.
Yeah. Cause I'm guessing that they just feel smooth. I don't know.
I mean, like, I mean, it's so funny cause I've had people like, does a shark really not have skin? I'm like, well, of course it has skin. It has to have something that protects its body, but like,
it has to have an outer layer.
It's not the same as like your typical shark skin. Disclaimer. I don't know a ton about this organism. Nobody does because it's been very recently discovered, but like, I don't know, I guess Google it. It's just a weirdo. There's a lot of different weird sharks with a lot of weird adaptations. And that's one of them.
Yeah, totally.
What kind of shark you would want to wear is not a question I thought we would be talking about today.
No, that, That wasn't even a question that was like on my bingo card of 2020 for weird shark questions funny. People would ask me.
It's funny because like the image in my head was like you as Cruella De Vil, but except for instead of like Dalmatian puppy skin, it was just like a nurse shark.
It would be seven gills.
Oh, it would.
Because they're spotty like Dalmatians. Yeah.
Cruella De Vil, but for seven gills. Oh my gosh. She's like don't running around with it. A pack of seven gills following her.
Her name is is Cruella De Gil.
Yeah.
Wasn't even funny.
I laughed.
Oh, that was great.
Okay, so now that we've gone on this super weird tangent that resulted in a lot of things we didn't think we'd talk about, let's get into what this episode is about, which is science communication. So I think we should start with how you, Jada, even got into science communication and where your idea for Animal Facts came from. And then we can kind of all discuss, you know, why it's really important and all the crazy different ways that you can be involved in science communication.
Great. Okay. Honestly, I got involved in science communication because I was a little bit bored. I was the type of person in like, it was like December 2019. I was like, I'm not downloading TikTok. I refuse. This is for the young Gen Zers. I'm a cusper. I don't need this in my life. And then I was like, okay, I'll download it. It's fine. It seems like a good time. And I saw so many people doing like their thing. Where people would do like acting challenges, or some people would draw like companies as people. Some people did their TikTok dances. And I was like, I'm not good at any of those things. So what am I good at? I know a lot about animals and I really like talking. So that's just kind of where the idea came from. And so I started making Animal Fact videos. I've looked back recently on some of my older ones and I hate them, but it's all about growth, you know, like it takes a while to kind of find your voice and like what your image is. And for me, my image is just being authentically myself, but it just kind of took a bit for me to be comfortable in front of the camera, knowing that there were people on the internet, you know, actually like starting to pay attention to me. Now I'm at that point. I think my videos are a lot better. They've got a lot more fun information. I look enthusiastic, whereas in my older ones, I just felt like I looked bored for some reason. Which is weird because I was having so much fun making them. But yeah, that's kind of where the idea stemmed from. And now I make them on TikTok and I put them on Instagram and Twitter, and people started to give me suggestions of things that they wanted to see. And I make my content family friendly so that, you know, people like to share them with like their kids at bedtime or like with their grandparents and whatnot. So I started to get all these suggestions from like, oh, my daughter would love to see the zebra, or my grandpa really likes the seven gills. Can you do a video about that? So I kind of started taking suggestions and writing them down. And I think that that kind of helps with engagement and just keeping people interested to see like what I post next. And will I take your suggestion? The answer is probably, but I have a very long list, so it might take me a little while to get there. But yeah, that's kind of where my idea for science communication came from, and it's just carried me through the pandemic and has been a lot of fun for me to make, and I hope that a lot of people have had fun watching. So yeah.
They've been so fun to watch.
Thanks.
They're so fun, and it's clear, like, it's not even a surprise to me at all like how viral they go. Because they're hilarious and you definitely look entertained. I don't know if maybe I didn't see the earlier ones, but you always looked very entertained and very excited for your animal effects.
They were just low before. Like, I was like, yeah, and this shark has teeth. And I looked at some of the older ones. My dad was like, oh my God, these are so slow. Like, I didn't even realize you were capable of speaking this slowly. But yeah, I mean, again, you just kind of, you improve over time and you find your image and you find what your presence will be and what you look like online and whatnot. So you find your voice, and I found mine, and it's gotten better, which is what it's all about, and having fun and sharing cool information.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And maybe we should say for our listeners too, like, what is SciComm? Because we kind of just said SciComm and didn't really explain it. Jada, would you like to take a stab at what SciComm is and why it's so important?
Sure. SciComm is just science communication. And you don't have to be a scientist to communicate science. I always like to say there's no wrong way to do SciComm as long as you are communicating accurate science. And so I think it's really important because sometimes it feels like there's a bit of a bridge between like the scientific community and like the general public. And a lot of the science that we do is to help inform, you know, potential like management and policy decisions. And the public has a say in a lot of that stuff. So I think it's really important to share the information that we are finding with the public so that they can make decisions for themselves and their own opinions on things. And also, I mean, there's just so many cool science facts to share out there. For me, I share facts about animals because I work with animals. But that's true for, you know, like neurobiology and whatever else. So like, I think that it's really important to not only like share information that is essential for like policy and management, but also that people will just enjoy and have fun with. Because how are you supposed to expect someone to pay attention to your science if they don't even know it exists? Or if they think it's boring. So you just got to kind of share the information and you're doing all this work. So clearly you're passionate about it. If you're one of the scientists that's sharing their science, so share your passion with the world. I think that it's really important. And I mean, if you're having fun with it, chances are someone else is going to get a kick out of it too. So SciComm.
Right. And I think the important thing to note too, is that SciComm, like not all scientists are great at SciComm because I mean, we talked about this with Dr. Schiffman, is that a lot of scientists don't really like working with people, and that's why they study animals. And so they're not necessarily super good or effective SciComm people. So when there's people like you, Jada, who are effective at it and are really good at translating that science to other listeners, that's why it's so effective. And it's good to lean on those people to communicate, because also science can't happen in a vacuum. You can't really make change if science like is happening in a place and it's never utilized and never goes anywhere. Like, you have to spread that information for people to care. And people aren't going to protect or care if they don't even know it exists, like you said.
Right. And I think that's one reason why this podcast is so important, and that I'm so excited about this podcast, because like, I know that there's so many people out there that want to know more about science, and maybe there's not a ton of SciComm like content out there for them to use to learn about these things. And scientific papers, if you're not in the world of science, even if you are in the world of science, are very confusing and a little daunting to read. Like, it's a lot sometimes. So I think that this is a really cool way of, you know, kind of breaking that down and making it way more digestible for someone who doesn't know all the lingo. Cause like, I'm in shark science, and sometimes I come across some lingo and some jargon that I'm like, what on earth does that mean? And I have to like Google it, and then it's still confusing and whatever else. So I think that like, this is why science communication and things like this podcast are so helpful, because it's really breaking it down and making it a lot easier to understand.
Yeah, totally. And there's also, I think, like a super important distinction to highlight what you said, is like, there's no wrong way to do science communication. And that literally means like, you can be as serious or as goofy as you want with it. Like, there are people who are super like serious and they are communicating policy to anglers who cannot read a giant policy document because maybe it's not in their native language, or it's super wordy and half of us don't even know what policy words mean.
Or have time, honestly.
Yeah, or have time. And then, you know, there's yours, which are super fun, but also super informative at the same time. And that just like communicates super random facts to people about animals that they might not know. And then people have told me that my pants drawings are science communication, and I've decided to agree with them, because a lot of the comments when I post like any sort of pants thing will get super, people will debate like really hard on how an animal would wear pants. And then they're like, oh, I need to go Google this animal because I don't really know what it does. For example, when I did the decorator crab, people were like, what's a decorator crab? And then I was like, oh, it's literally a crab that just like decorates itself with things and like camouflages into where it is. And like, put super simply, that's basically what it does. And so for the two drawings, I drew one with khakis, with a bunch of pockets for it to like store all the things it collected. But then I also just drew it like putting pants on its body to like blend into like a pants background. I don't know, like a supermarket, like a Macy's.
I absolutely loved that one. I thought it was hilarious. I died. No, I think that it definitely is SciComm, because not only are you like getting people to look up or even learn about like the existence of animals that they might not know about, but you're also like, there's so many people. The way that I think about it, and the way that I know a lot of other people think about it, is like, how would this animal wear pants based on like its body form,
morphology,
like,
yeah,
morphology compared to like ours? And I think that that's also a really cool thing as well.
Yeah, that's like one of my favorite parts, is that people are like, if this animal were to actually put pants on, morphologically speaking, where would the pants go? And like, some of those conversations are super fun, like the Mola drawing that I did.
Yeah, the Mola one is so good.
Because like, their butt is sticker, like on one side, but then where they poop is not on that side, it's on the bottom. And like, is the function of pants to cover where you go to the bathroom, or is the function of pants to just cover a butt? Like, I don't know.
Oh my gosh, the Mola drawing. It's in a constant splits. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my favorite. Honestly, I love the Mola. Okay, if our listeners haven't checked out the How It Pans, especially the Mola drawing, this is your homework to go check it out, because it's so funny. Because the one pants drawing of like where it's covering its both of its fins, it really does make it look like it's in a constant split.
It's just doing the splits. I saw that's the one I voted for, because I was like, even though I don't think this is how it would wear pants, like this is so like, it's too comical to not vote for that. Like,
I agree.
Yeah. But anyway, the point of that tangent was to just say that SciComm can show up in whatever way you feel it should for yourself, and you can make it fit your personality and what you want to do, and then have positive effects on people, even if it's silly and stupid, like putting pants on animals.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's to mention that, like, as we said, like, it can be as serious or silly as you want, but there's also so many different platforms to use for science communication. Like, you can use social media like TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. You can use podcasts like this. You can, if you're in school or something, you can just like make a really cool fact sheet with cool like pictures of the animal and like post it around campus if that's something that you're allowed to do. And I think that would be like a really fun project, and see like what kind of results you get from that. Let's like see how many people are interested in that. So I mean, there's so many different ways to do it, so many different ways, and again, all of them are right as long as you're communicating accurate and hopefully recent science.
Yes, totally.
And to put recent in there for
keyword on recent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, should we do something completely not science related and play a game?
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
Games.
Okay. So we're going to try to name as many sharks as the three of us can name.
This going is not going to go well.
In a circle. This is not going to go well, because I can never remember more than like five species when someone puts me on the spot. They're like, name a shark. And I'm like, bonnet head? Only bonnet heads. Bonnet heads are the only shark in the ocean.
You get to December and your mom asks you what you want for Christmas, you have no idea. But
exactly.
If you thought about it like on your own 3 months prior, you'd have a whole list of 45 items you wanted. It's just the whole being on the spot and like you have very limited time type of stress. Oh, it's fine. We're going to do.
We're gonna do potentially really bad.
We're just gonna do and see how it goes.
We're gonna try. All right. So yeah. Who's first?
Should we just go like in alphabetical order by first letter of our name? Because I don't know if we're all in the same location order, on our screen right now. So okay. So I'll go first, and then Jada. Yeah. Okay.
Here we go.
I'm afraid. I'm already like, what's a shark? Okay, I'll start. I'm going to start with the horn shark.
Then I'll go with the Port Jackson.
Seven gill, I have to.
Nurse shark.
Common thresher.
Six gill.
Wobbegong.
The big eye thresher.
Short fin mako.
Bonnet head.
The pelagic thresher.
Oh my gosh. Long fin mako.
Yes.
Poor beagle.
Salmon. We were on the same page that one. Yep, salmon shark.
White shark. No one said that, right?
Correct.
No, no one said that. Greenland shark.
Megamouth shark.
What? Whale shark.
Basking shark.
The frilled shark.
It's a good one.
I'm panicking. Soupfin shark.
Yes.
Good one. Okay, the dwarf lantern shark.
That's a good one. I have to say this one because the name is just so disrespectful. The dumb gulper shark.
What?
Wait, okay, can we pause? Because I didn't know that was the actual name of a shark. Is there like a dumb gulper shark and then a regular gulper shark?
I think, yeah, I think like gulper shark is just like an overarching like...
Oh my gosh.
Like name, like cow sharks, gulper sharks, yeah. Gulper sharks. So the dumb gulper shark is a thing and it's hilarious.
That implies the smart gulper shark.
Exactly.
Interesting.
They look hilarious.
Oh, we'll have to post a picture of them, yes, so people will. Can see this.
Okay. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Swallow shark.
Oh yeah.
Scalloped hammerhead.
The bird-beaked dogfish. I made a TikTok recently about just like like sharks that were named after other animals and or objects. And so this is where this is coming from.
Spiny dogfish.
Nice.
Great hammerhead.
Oh my god. Sand tiger shark.
Oh, that's a good one.
Black tip. Reef shark.
Are there is there more, yes, than one type of black tip?
Yes.
What?
I believe so. Am I correct?
There's the black tip reef.
So the shark. Reef shark, which I believe is different from just the straight up black tip shark.
I didn't but think there is that a... was true. Is it?
Fact check?
Oh, I'm so curious. Okay, wait, hold on.
I know there's a reef shark and then there's a black tip reef shark. I don't know if there's another kind of black tip shark.
There is, because there's black tip reef shark is Carcharhinus melanoteris, and black tip shark I believe is Carcharhinus lumbatus.
Oh my gosh, I thought they were the same thing.
No.
Oh my gosh, I'm losing my mind. Wait,
we're all learning but things.
They look the same. Well, I mean, they're Carcharhinus, so of course
they are. They're
freaking Carcharhinus, that genus makes me so angry.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You
okay,
said black
Amani,
tip.
It's your turn. Yeah.
I said, wait, didn't I say regular black tip?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oceanic white tip. Heck yeah. Little airplanes of the sea.
Facts.
White tip reef shark. Nice. Which is also a different species.
It is.
Tropical saw shark.
Okay. extra.
I'm like pretty sure that's a thing. We can Google it. I'm pretty sure it's a type of saw shark. Wait, here, I'll Google it.
I love that half of this episode is just us Googling things. It is a thing.
It is.
What?
I can't say that Latin name. It's Pristioforus delicatus. Delicatus.
Yeah, no, you got it. Pristioforus delicatus. Delicatus.
Yes, they are a pale brown with a yellow hue and an underbelly that is a pale yellow to white.
Look, boom. No shade, but like definitely shade. The sawfish is so much cooler than the saw shark.
Oh, totally.
But I mean, the saw shark is pretty dang cute.
It is. It's tiny and cute. Okay.
Anyway.
It's Megan's turn, I think.
Is it?
Jada's turn.
It's my turn because you said the saw shark. I'm trying to skip my turn.
Oh, right.
Let's see. Ooh, the zebra shark.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, well.
Leopard shark.
Yeah. That was the obvious second. Okay, bull shark.
Tiger shark.
Oh, I think Imani already said that.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, I don't think I said that. I said sand tiger.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Okay. Brown smooth hound.
Ooh, oh, that sounds like a dog.
It looks like a dog.
Okay, goblin shark. I don't think anyone has said that yet.
The pajama cat shark.
Good one.
Oh, good one. Epaulette shark.
Yeah.
Blue shark.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh my gosh. Wait, I'm blanking on sharks. Hold on.
I'm starting to blank too.
Crapola, man. Oh, wait, there's a Carolina hammerhead. Hey,
oh, that's good.
There we go.
Angel shark.
Yeah.
Can I say species of wabagong?
Yeah.
I mean, we already did that with like short hair. Okay.
I'm gonna go with the dwarf spotted wabagong.
I've never seen a picture of one of those. Ooh, brown banded bamboo shark.
Oh, that's a good one.
I am blanking on shark species.
I really want to know, like, from the audience, like,
I know
what they're thinking of. Like, are we missing the ones that they're thinking of?
I was literally thinking this whole time there's probably a listener just going like, oh my gosh, you're forgetting the most obvious species.
I have one.
Well, shoot.
Like over 500 species, and we can't.
We probably named like 30. Like
30 species.
Oh my gosh. I am literally blanking so hard. Can I have found a friend?
Yeah, I'll answer it. Oh. No, let me be the friend.
Sorry.
Lemon shark.
That's what I was gonna say. Okay. Oh, hold on, because we are definitely disappointing Schiffman, so I have to say.
Oh, dang it.
The sandbar, yeah. Man. How do
that
you
was for, oh, that's that what, was for Schiffman.
I got you, Schiffman. I got you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, so then does Imani go again? Do I skip my turn?
Okay. I think there's something called the Atlantic weasel shark.
Excuse the hell out of me.
I know something weasel shark. I'm pretty sure there's like one called the Atlantic weasel shark.
Stop. Oh my god, there is. What? What is
that? I don't actually know what it looks like. I think I read that in a paper.
No, it looks normal except for its mouth is so tiny. Oh my god.
Petite, small.
This is so funny. Oh my goodness, I'm losing it. Okay, anyway, is it my turn then?
I think so.
Yeah.
Dusky shark.
Oh, that was a good one.
Spinner shark.
Ooh,
I was gonna say that. Oh, swell shark.
I already said that.
That's that one.
Oh. Broadnosed cat shark.
Okay, nice. Silky. It's funny because they're not silky smooth.
No, they're not.
You guys, this is getting really hard for me.
Yeah, I'm
cookie,
like really.
Cookie cutter.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. It's them deep sea boys.
I phoned a friend called Google.
Cheating.
I think we've. We gotta find an end to this game. Because I don't think we're going to sit here.
What is one of the hound sharks?
Can we go extinct?
Brown smooth hound.
Oh, yeah.
Because if we're doing extinct sharks, I'd like to bring up Helicoprion.
Okay. I'll let it happen.
Also Megalodon, but...
That's two. You can't say two.
It's too late. I said it. I'm sorry.
I'll say Megalodon. My turn. Good job. Okay, your turn, Imani.
You thought of it all on your own.
Okay.
So good.
I'm so good at this game.
I'm going to say the scalloped bonnet head.
What about... Oh, scalloped bonnet head.
Fancy.
I'm going to go with the smooth hammerhead. Because you didn't say that one yet. You said scalloped. Bam, bam. Turkey and ham come at me.
Small eye hammerhead?
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, spiny dogfish, because this one is for Chuck Bangley, because I know he listens to
that
this.
One.
We did?
Yes. I heard beak dogfish, so then Megan said that one. But to be fair, there is a Pacific spiny dogfish and an spiny dogfish. So there's Squalus acanthus, acanthus, and Squalus supplii. Supplii is Pacific, and I know that because I had to memorize it for my Friday Harbor fish class. Bam.
So I feel like Jada won because I cheated, and Amani said repeats twice.
Yeah, I did. But so Jada definitely won.
Yay! I'm amazing.
Also because I feel like you know more Latin names than either of us do.
Oh yeah, my god, that's fair.
We totally should have played to see how many Latin names we
could. No, mine would have been like maybe 10.
It would have been done like 10 minutes ago.
If we want to go all been sitting here. Species, I would win.
Yeah, you would, because I can't even name a rockfish species Latin name. Period.
I can't name a rockfish common name species.
Yeah, that's true.
I was definitely meaning common names, but
oh, but I mean, I can't even do that though. It's fine. You would win that competition for sure.
Oh, okay. Well, good job, Jada. You won our How Many Sharks Can We Name game. And for all of our listeners out there, you can go ahead and tweet us all the species that we didn't think of that you were sitting there screaming at.
Yeah. All 490 of them.
Yeah. I want to know, I don't know if you guys are going to go back and count, but I want to know from the audience, like how many are in whatever way, how many did we actually name? I'm really curious, because if it's less than 50, which it probably is, I'm going to be very disappointed.
I think it was probably closer to 30.
Yeah.
So I think 30 might be generous.
Yeah. I feel like if we actually sat here for a full hour, like thinking really hard, like we were taking an SAT, we could name more.
100%.
I would just have to go through and look at some of my TikToks and we'd have a bunch. Already.
We'd have to study. We would study up. Yeah. And then we'll rapid fire name all 500 sharks.
Originally, we were going to make this game name a shark for each letter of the alphabet and like go through. And so I did study for that. But then there are letters that we would just have to skip. Like X.
Yeah, that's the first letter that came.
Yeah.
Oh my God, kite fin. I was thinking K, kite fin shark. Pocket shark? Oh my god. There's so many.
I was thinking of cat sharks, but I couldn't think of specific.
I was just going to say cat shark because I was like, I can't even think of specific.
Well, because there's like cat sharks and there's hound sharks and there's dogfish and there's hammerheads. Like there's, I was mostly thinking like groups, not species.
Yeah.
So I was on TikTok and I was on this guy's TikTok live and I was just like, I always ask whenever I go into someone's live, I'm just like, I have to know, what's your favorite shark? And this guy just goes, I'll either say the great white or the tiger shark because I can't think of any other sharks. And I was like, what? And so I don't feel bad, honestly. I derailed this man's TikTok live for like 15 minutes. And the entire audience was just commenting shark names that they knew. And he was like, they were like pajama cat shark, lemon shark, spiny dogfish, the frilled shark, the goblin shark. And this, I said cookie cutter. This guy was like, I have to believe that you guys are making these up. There's no way these are real shark names. And I was like, no, they're real. I'm like, I
oh
do.
Oh my gosh, I would be losing my mind.
It was so funny for me. I mean, I'm sure he was irritated, but I had a great time. And I'm so glad that there were so many other people that knew so many sharks.
Good job, audience.
Great. Like, do you not watch like nature documentaries, man? Come on, there's a lot of sharks out there.
That's because if you watch like Shark Week, there's like exactly five species on them. Yeah,
every
on
time.
Each year, it's five species and it's all the same ones. And
they're usually doing
all of them.
And they're usually doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
A white shark? Wow, watch it breach. Okay. Yep. Basking sharks breach, but okay. It's the great hammerhead, the tiger shark, the bull shark. And like that's it. There isn't
sand
even
sand tiger, maybe.
Maybe
yeah,
the sand
maybe.
Tiger.
But like those four yeah, are definitely the top four. Or reef sharks. We have to throw reef sharks on there.
Yeah, just as like
because,
a group. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they'll go to like reefs or something and be like, oh, what happens if you chum the water? Will you get bitten? And then like, da na 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 na. The sharks are just like swimming around, enjoying their work day.
I gotta say, the one thing that plays in like on repeat in my head from Shark Week is just the dude with his really deep voice going, sharks with freaking laser beams, because they had like the lasers to measure the shark distances. And I thought that was cool, because I was like, wow, they're measuring how big a shark is. That's really awesome. But everyone else was like, these sharks don't have laser beams. I was like, why would they? But like, I thought it was cool because I was like, I understand what this is and what this means. And like, we get to measure the size of sharks, but like just that phrase and the dude's deep voice just like lives in my head rent free.
Oh,
think about it at least once a day.
This just in, new species of shark species, laser beams shoot out of their eyes. That's how they hunt.
The Dr. Evil sharks.
Yeah.
Also,
I was thinking like, is it Gazer Beam from The Incredibles? Neither of you understand what I'm saying.
Crickets. Is it from the second one?
No, it's from the first one. Mr. Incredible has to get away from the little flying bomb camera thing. And then...
Oh, his name was Bomb Voyage.
No, not... Excuse me. Take that sass back right now. I did not mean Bomb Voyage. I meant when he... goes in the cave and the guy he comes up out of the cave and there's the dude sitting there with the laser thing over his eyes, and he's like,
the dead
laser
guy.
Beam?
Oh, yes. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, I'm caught up. I'm sorry. That was too much sass for no reason. You didn't deserve
Yeah,
that.
Excuse me. Oh, gosh. This is coming out with me with sass. It is not sass o'clock. Go home.
That's not sass o'clock for you, because you're in a different time zone. Oh.
You're going to be in the same time zone as me in like a week.
I'm very excited, honestly, so that all of the Miss members are on the same time zone, because I am currently the odd man out and it gets very confusing very quickly.
I bet. I mean, even just us trying to schedule things for Sharkpedia and being in different time zones is... a little bit of a struggle.
It's challenging.
But we've figured it out so far, kind of.
Yeah.
You guys are doing great, and I love this. Also, I hope that this episode is entertaining for your audience.
I know.
it's us yelling at each other.
It's a bonus episode.
Pretty on brand for, like, us, though.
Yeah. For real.
Yelling at the screen about sharks.
Yeah.
Was there another game or something we were supposed to do?
Oh, I remember there was Amani mentioned trying to do like, you have to like, not including the word shark, you have to start, the first letter of your shark has to be the last letter of the last shark that was named, if that makes
sense. No, there's no way. We just tried to name so many sharks, there's no. Are you serious? No,
okay.
That would be really cool, because then like, if you needed to, you could indeed use like a genus name or something. So like Mako, and my first thought was Erectolobus, which is Wobbegongs, and then you could go Soup
Sevengill.
Oh yeah. That's what I said. I said Sevengill. We're on the same page. That's just what my husband I thought that'd be a cool game. Like the most impossible game, but very fun.
I also just had an idea for a game we could play.
What is it?
We have to come up with catchphrases for different sharks.
Can we say it in the voice that we think they
would
say it
in? Yes. So either like, so the voice that you think they'd say it in, and then like a phrase that you think they would say often, or that they would say like in a career. Like, for example, I was thinking of a thresher shark, and the thing that came to my head was, ho, 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 I have caught you a fish with my super long tail. Here is your food. That will be $35.
So he's French.
Terribly French.
A really long catchphrase. Is this some sort of phrase that we think that they would say at some point? Not necessarily
a catchphrase. It doesn't have to be a catchphrase.
Okay.
Just like a phrase that you think... they would say. So, like, I imagined a thresher shark as a chef.
Interesting.
Yeah. Look, that was, like...
with a chef's hat on.
Yeah.
My first thought is, I have to bring it back to the movie Elf because I love that movie. the image in my head of a Greenland shark is just where Santa's flying the sleigh and he just goes, I'm getting too old for this shit. That's the Greenland shark.
I think you're right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except for he's not moving fast on Santa's sleigh. He's moving really slow.
Well, that's why the engine got caught on that statue. There wasn't enough Christmas spirit. Oh, right. It wasn't going
enough Christmas spirit.
See, it's funny to me that you think a thresher is a chef in some way because they just look so confused. Their face looks so confused that, like, the one thing that comes to mind for me is, like, I'm lost here. Where do I go?
Yeah, well, okay. I'll tell you the exact picture that I thought of in my head, and then I'll probably try to draw it as a sticker.
Please.
I imagined a thresher shark with a chef's hat on using its tail to, like, chop as onions really fast.
Yes.
Oh, you need to draw
I don't know why it was onions, but maybe that's why it looks like it's crying all the time. It's always chopping onions.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. This is
perfect. Yep.
I imagined it as
you
like
need to have it chopping onions and going, oh, and then little tears going down its face.
Single tear coming out. What about, okay, so for Seven Gill, my image is that they are either a very bougie woman who wears a lot of red, or
so Cruella DeVille.
Yes. Or they have like the little like old newsy hats and they're like, look here, see?
I've been around for a century. You listen to me.
Oh my gosh.
Better watch that, Johnny.
Okay. Mine for Grey White Shark is the old man from Monster House screaming, get off my lawn!
Oh my goodness. Absolutely.
Okay. Horn Shark? I feel like this is just because it has the word horn in its name, but I just imagine it with a Viking hat on. Like, not like the stereotypical, like, How to Train Your Dragon Viking hat, and they're just, like, riding a dragon, looking cool.
They're riding a Wobbegong.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're Hiccup's dad, and they're like, Hiccup!
Yes, no, your accent was off, but I really got the essence of it. I was thinking for, like, a Mako shark, there's, like, this TikTok sound. Where he's just like, I'm fast as f-. You have no idea how fast I am.
Fast as f-, boy.
Well, you have no idea how fast I can be. And it's just going as fast as it can in circles, doing like donuts in the parking lot or something. That's the Mako shark. He like,
or like an Olympic track star.
I was thinking a little more fratty, like definitely wears like Vineyard Vines, like with the whale on their shirt, you know. That's for sure a Mako shark.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know why that's what came to mind for me for them, but it is for sure.
Okay, I still love them. For a swell shark, I feel like they would be like, get out of my way, get out of my way, get out of my way, get out of my way. And then they just start swelling up and up and up and up and get bigger.
Oh my good. God.
Yes.
I'm thinking like, I think his name is Bloat. In Finding Nemo, the puffer fish that was the tank, where he just panics. And they're like, I'll go deflate him. Yeah. The bamboo sharks and the epilogue are like, I'll go deflate him. I got him. Like, it's fine.
Okay, I think the epaulette shark is a scientist.
100%.
I think they have to be a scientist. Or, like, honestly, could be Miss Frizzle.
She's Miss Drives Miss Frizzle. Or... Yes. She's an expert tide pooler.
Yeah. Like, some form of a crazy scientist with like ridiculous frizzy hair, wears goggles all the time, drives a Subaru Outback.
Outback? Why is that accurate? Oh my goodness.
Okay. Well, guys, I think that's about all we have for today. Thank you so much, Jada, for coming on and talking about your research and your awesome animal facts. Listeners, if you haven't watched Animal Facts, definitely go check that out. Follow Jada. And Jada, can you just real quick say where people can follow you and find your animal facts and your other awesome SciComm skills?
Yes, absolutely. You can find me on TikTok and Twitter at Sophistication and on Instagram at Sophistication _. Sophistication was already taken. It's fine. I'm not bitter about it. But yeah, I hope you guys come on this grad school SciComm journey with me. And thank you so much for having me on the Sharkpedia podcast. It was a blast and a half.
Absolutely. And Sharkies, if you're out there with more species that you wish we had talked about or really fun catchphrases that you want us to share, go ahead and tag us in your tweets and we'll retweet those and share them with all of the Sharkies. So thank you so much for joining us this week. And until next time, we've been your hosts, Megan and Imani.
Swim you later.